HockeyShrinkTheConditioning.com presents the Hockey Shrink Podcast.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthConditioning.com, the only hockey training resource you will ever need. My name is Anthony Rana, and you can reach me at HockeyStrength@gmail.com. All right, well, this is the fifth episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast, and it's also the second in a series of podcasts from the speakers at the Hockey Track at the Boston Sports Medicine and Performance Group's Summer Seminar in May. Last episode, I had Dan Boothby on. He's Northeastern strength coach and one of the organizers of the event. This week, Sean Skane from the Anaheim Ducks will join me to talk about his lecture at the seminar, Injury Prevention Strategies for Hockey. Coach Skane will share his philosophy and some of the strategies he uses to keep his players healthy. That's coming up in a little bit. Now, if you're not familiar with HockeyStrengthConditioning.com, there's videos, articles, programs that go up every week, along with periodic webinars and monthly youth programs. We also have a very active forum for all the coaches participate in. And so if you train hockey players, you have to check out this site. Now, there's a trial offer that's 7 days for just a buck. If you go on, you can check out all the videos, articles, forum threads, programs, and more. If you don't love the site, just cancel your membership and you're out a buck. And we're pretty sure you're going to be impressed with all the great content and you'll want to continue for just $9.95 a month. It's an incredible bargain. And if you train hockey players, or even if you're just a hockey player yourself and you want to get advice from some of the best hockey strength coaches in the world. Now, there is a catch. The price is going up April 9th. Time is running out. Price is going up. You can lock in that low price forever, but you need to do it before April 9th. So whatever price you sign up on, that's what you're going to have forever. So if you sign up before April 9th, you're all set. $9.95 a month. It's going up to $15, which is still a great bargain. There's really a lot of great content, so you got to check it out. All right, well, lots of stuff to get to, so let's get on the phone with Sean Skane. All right, we are here with Sean Skane, strength and conditioning coach for the Anaheim Ducks. Sean, thanks for coming on tonight.
Hey, thanks, Ant. It's always great to be on here with you.
All right, well, you are our second speaker for the BSMPG. Last time we had on Dan Boothby talking about this conference. What a great conference. I know this is your second time doing it. Want to jump right into it with your topic is going to be injury prevention strategies for hockey. And man, you're opening a can of worms with this one, right? I mean, this is always a tough one, especially with hockey players.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, what I want to do in my talk is kind of cover, some of the stuff that's out there in the research, kind of worldwide, talking about what kind of injuries there are in the game today. And I kind of want to talk about what I see with my team and what I've seen with my team, at least for the last 10 years, and what the trends are in injuries. And most importantly, you know, what we do to prevent them from happening. And I'm going to cover a lot of strategies to help identify the injuries and what can we do to combat those problems.
Sean, what are those, injuries that, talk about the injuries that you're basically, not that you're responsible for, trying to prevent, but obviously we know that, somebody gets hit with a puck or, gets, a stick in the head, whatever it may be. Obviously that's not your, you're concerned, but there's nothing you can do about that. What kind of injuries are you looking to prevent here?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. There's really not much you can do to prevent things like, for example, this year we had, someone get cut by a skate on his wrist, and we had a dislocated thumb in a fight during the preseason. We had a player get hit in his eye with a puck during practice and scratch his retina. So there's not, and we also had a broken hand from blocking a shot. So really not much we can do to prevent those kind of things with our strength and conditioning program. However, I think that, from our standpoint, we can do whatever we can to prevent the soft tissue injuries from happening. And, what I'll talk about and what we see a lot is kind of the groin / hip flexor strains. We also see some shoulder issues that you know, maybe you can kind of prevent from happening with a sound strength and conditioning program with adherence to, you know, strengthening the rotator cuff and working on upper body posture, and also, as Dan John would say, building that body armor. So, you know, I'm going to talk about things like that and certainly go into detail how we do that.
Sean, let's start out with some of the lower body stuff, like you said, groin. You know, do you think that the groin injuries are a function of really not focusing on some of these things, or just the, you know, nature of the game? Or it just seems like an area I think we see in strength and conditioning that, you know, we don't see anything specific. I mean, we all kind of put down this whole isolated training, right? We're not on the abductors and adductor machines working our groin. But, you know, where are these things kind of stemming from? What are some of the mistakes that maybe people are making with some of the groin sports hernia type injuries?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what we see in our situation, the guys who strain their groin or, you know, hip flexor problems, they've probably done it in the past. So I think it's more important to prevent the guys who haven't had a groin strain from having one. You know, there's one player on our team who gets a groin strain every year. I mean, it's kind of, you can mark it on the calendar, this individual will strain his groin and he's going to be out X amount of days. And it's frustrating because, for example, we're always trying to address this from a proactive standpoint and making sure this doesn't happen. But there's definitely outside factors that a strength and conditioning coach sometimes can't control. You know, for example, how long the practices are, how many days in a row they've been on the ice, what was the tempo of a recent game, how many games in the week are they playing, you know, when was the last time he's had, you know, time to rest. And then the other outside factors could be, you know, what's his nutritional and hydration status. So there's many different factors that are beyond your control, but certainly from injury preventive standpoint, then we can definitely do our best to help control what we do.
Sean, I would assume as well that, you know, summertime comes, this guy might go to his local gym, and, you know, kind of, you know, there might not be the focus on some of those things. Like, for example, if he was in Anaheim all summer, that you might focus on, you might say, hey, look, we're going to really focus on this. Let's make next year our year where you're not going to get a groin strain. What are your strategies for kind of off season? Well, are you just going to write that program? You're going to say, hey, you know what, in the very least do this A, B, and C. Let's try and keep this groin injury down. What are you going to do for the summer for them?
Yeah, you're right about that. Absolutely. What we'll do is provide I hate to do this, but that's the reality of the situation that I'm in. You know, these guys will go home to a different part of the country or world and go to their summer residence, and there's really not much you can do about that. So you do have to provide them with, you know, hey, this is what I want you to do every day, or, you know, three or four times a week. Here's A, B, and C. Exactly right. And, you know, you hope that it's followed to a T, but, you know, you really can't control that. And that's the best we can do. And, you know, talk to them, communicate with them throughout the off season, and make sure that's getting done. But again, you just don't know sometimes. And that's kind of the best we can do. And then obviously when they get back to Anaheim in the late summer months, you want to get them back to the daily routine of kind of trying to prevent these things from happening. So.
And Sean, let's stay with the groin injuries and the kind of sports hernia type injuries. What are some of the things for you that you're kind of trying to do to prevent, these things from happening?
Well, we're trying to definitely keep the adductors strong through, you know, exercises like the ball squeezes in different positions. We're doing a lot of that stuff. We're trying to make sure the hip is mobile as possible. And we're trying to make sure our abdominals are strong in the function that they're supposed to do. So, you know, we're just trying to do our best we can with that kind of stuff. And obviously we want to be strong on the single leg exercises as well to make sure that's happening. It's a kind of individualized approach as well for each guy, you know, so we kind of just do our best we can to make sure we can provide them with a program that can take care of all that stuff.
What about, let's move up shoulders. I know, you know, obviously the contact, this is kind of a double-edged sword. You know, we, like you were talking about posture before, there's a lot of contact in hockey, but at the same time, I mean, there are some things to make sure that maybe guys can prevent shoulder injuries through strength and conditioning, even though they're contact injuries. What are some of those things that you're doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, actually I just read an article on the site today by Anthony Donskoff that was really a fantastic article talking about the push-pull ratio. You know, we're right on there with that, with Anthony. We're actually doing probably more pulling exercises than we are pressing. You know, I want my guys to be proficient at pull-ups. You know, we test pull-ups every preseason. And they know that, so they're always working on their pull-ups. We're also, you know, we're also working on inverted rows. We're definitely working on exercises that help stabilize that scapula and also kind of, you know, make sure you have that posture where they're not forward shoulders and not, you know, their pecs aren't all tight and rounded. You know, we want to make sure that we have a strong posterior shoulder girdle to make sure that they're prepared. I think that's been, you know, the way we kind of do things where, you know, we're always going to be doing pull-ups like, you know, once, twice a week during the season and twice during the off season. And we make that a staple of our program. That's just an example of how we would prevent that, from a global muscle perspective. And then, you know, we can address our rotator cuffs through, you know, your basic, lying L's, with a dumbbell or the cable systems, and we'll also address our Y's, T's, W's, and L's, and that's about it, really. I mean, we're trying to do the best we can to be as strong as possible in that posterior shoulder girdle.
Yeah, Sean, address the pelvis, too, because it's funny. I'm training a guy. He went to Yale, drafted in 80. He's my age, drafted in 87, and didn't go to the NHL, but, you know, he was drafted, big hockey guy, Canada. Now he's like a scratch golfer, you know, Wall Street type guy, but he is really trying to improve his game this year. I mean, he's a scratch already, but he's trying to, like, win some big-time amateur stuff. So we're working on a lot of stuff. One thing I, you know, like, first session I worked on with him was his address posture. And what we're seeing with a lot of hockey players, you know, the hockey butt, the lower cross syndrome, is that something that you really try to address with some of your guys as well from a corrective perspective, or do you even have to bother with that too much?
No, we're addressing that all the time. We will see that quite a bit. You know, our guys will have really, really tight hip flexors, and sometimes we'll get that weak glute syndrome, and they'll get tight quads. And we're always addressing glute firing, glute strength, and whatever you want to call it. We're doing tons of glute bridges on a daily basis every day, as well as making sure we're stretching our hip flexors as well as strengthening our hip flexors above 90 degrees. And you're stretching our quadriceps as well. I think that's a real tough battle in a sport like hockey. You have to do that every day because of the amount of time that players are in a flexed spine, flexed hip, flexed knee position. You know, when you think about in the NHL, especially the amount of time they're playing the game, and when they're not playing the game, they're sitting on the bench during the game or sitting in their stalls during intermissions. And then, you know, our travel schedule out here is brutal. Like, we just traveled 3 hours the other night from Colorado. We had a 6-hour flight across the country from Carolina a couple weeks ago. You know, so we're always in a shortened state. So we always have to really think about restoring tissue length by addressing, you know, by addressing our hip flexors, quads, and strengthening our posterior chain to make sure those hips are balanced, I guess to say. And we're always fighting that, and we do the best job that we can to prevent that stuff from happening.
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost like you're working with executives as much as they sit down, right?
God. Well, yeah. I mean, these guys, I mean, you know, for most part of them, we have a lot of young players on our team, with the exception of some of our older players who have families and wives. You know, when they leave the rink, they're not doing much. They're sitting down. They're watching TV. They're not out there being active people. Their job is to be active for 3-4 hours a day on a game day, and, you know, hour and a half on a practice day at most. And then the rest of the day, they shut it down. And, you know, you got to make sure that we're, you know, trying to get our postures back and trying to make sure our tissues are at the right state. Cause that stuff is, to me, is what causes the groin injuries, I think, all the time. And the hip flexor strains is that constant overload in the shortened state, and all of a sudden you're out there trying to, you know, go 100 miles an hour and you have issues. So we're always trying to restore their proper alignment and tissue length to make sure that they're better, I guess.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, just looking at almost, you know, like that same idea as joint by joint, you know, if you don't have the requisite mobility, stability, you're going up or down to the next joint. And I would think that same thing, poor glute function, you know, especially with a skater, if they're not using glutes as efficiently as possible in the stride, you know, maybe we're going to get some more, you know, adductor, activity, right? And tightness. So that's got to be tough. Sean, let's just switch over really quick to weight. And adding pounds, adding weight to some of your guys, because I would assume, I mean, hockey's kind of a tough sport in that, you know, obviously these guys are getting huge, they're getting bigger, they're getting taller, they're getting faster. You know, from an injury prevention perspective, how much is size a factor for you?
And, you know, it's actually a big factor. I think players today are getting bigger. You know, hate to say the BFS, but they're getting bigger, faster, stronger. And that year to year, these players are just becoming bigger, faster, and stronger. So you have to make sure your guys are, you know, as lean and as strong as possible and fast. So, yeah, that's a big thing, and that's what our off-season program is geared to do, you know, increase lean body mass and get faster and more powerful.
Good stuff. Sean, let's finish up. You know, recently you and I have talked a lot about on the phone together, just our RKC, you know, kettlebell certifications. You went through it last summer. You know, both of us talk about, you know, what a great experience it was. And then you came out with DVD, Kettlebell Lifting for Hockey, which is available at SeanSkane.com. Talk to us about how maybe, I mean, because like even for me, I went to the certification. I'll admit I probably did it more for myself. I learned a ton, and it's really coming to, and you know, it's coming handy with some of my golfers for swings, etc. But I'll be honest, I probably haven't been able to use it as much as I would have liked. And again, that just has to do with my demographic. I tend to have a little bit older clientele. Although Turkish Getup, for my older clients, they absolutely love it. Talk to us about kettlebell lifting for hockey, and or, you know, how much of the kettlebells, you know, kind of played a role since you've gotten RKC.
Well, they definitely play a big role now in my program design. You know, I was doing kettlebells with my guys before the RKC, but I can definitely say I definitely picked up some kind of methods and strategies to kind of clean up some things that I didn't know, you know, what I was doing wrong or right. So, I mean, we would be doing swings, but maybe we weren't hip hinging the way that I learned at the RKC, or maybe we were doing get-ups and there was some part of the get-up where it was different from what I learned at the RKC. So I kind of looked at the RKC like, okay, this is the way that I have to do this, these exercises. And that's what I learned tremendously out of that. And as a result, I mean, we're doing kettlebell swings. We still do the get-ups, and we're doing some one-arm pressing, and we're doing the loaded carries, the bottoms-up carries. But we're doing it with finer detail, more attention to detail, which I definitely learned at the RKC. And, you know, for example, we're doing a lot of swings and talking about that whole lower cross syndrome thing. I think kettlebell swings are unbelievable to help correct that, because at the top of the swing, as you learned at the RKC, you know, we're getting glute extension, you know, big time at that end range of the swing. And that's what I want to get. And it's done in a dynamic way where we can get our glutes stronger. And at the same time, at the extension portion of the swing, we're getting some lengthening of the hip flexors and psoas. So I think that's a great exercise for addressing that issue, as well as developing mobility in the hips by hip hinging better and not really bothering our lower back. And so, like, that's just an example of the swing. And for me, the get-up's been just an unbelievable exercise. You know, not necessarily developing athleticism, but something about seeing an athlete, you know, do a get-up for the first couple times and then see them clean up their patterns and get better at it and see them do a nice, clean-looking get-up, you know, with a heavier kettlebell, I think we're getting good results with that. And I think that can go a long ways in the prevention of, you know, some of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about, such as the shoulders and the groins as well. So that's what I've learned, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm so glad I did that from a perspective of helping out my team, but also myself too. I mean, I just think it's a great seminar, and I was very fortunate to attend it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And remind everybody, kettlebell lifting for hockey, and you can get that at seanskane.com. And Sean will be speaking on preventing injuries at the BSMPG summer seminar. We've been talking last week, we talked to Dan Boothby. We're trying to get all of the presenters on. So, Sean, we really appreciate you coming on, taking some time out, talking about that stuff. Really looking forward to your lecture in Boston in May.
Hey, thanks, man. I always appreciate this stuff, and whatever you do to help the field, it's a good honor to help you out and help us grow the site here. So I'm pretty fortunate.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, well, that's going to do it for episode 5 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Special thanks to Coach Kane for coming on and sharing his insights and philosophies into the world of hockey strength and conditioning. Don't forget, hurry up and go to hockeystrengthandconditioning.com and sign up for the trial membership for just a buck. It's 7 days, just a buck, and if you love us, it's $9.95 a month. That price is going up on April 9th, so you can lock in the low price forever, but you need to do it before April 9th. Now, if you train hockey players, you absolutely, positively have to check it out. HockeyStrengthandConditioning.com. I'm Anthony Renna. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next time.